About this person that the Lord wants to use for us this morning
of the Alive Mentorship Group.
Alive Mentorship Group is an online mentoring platform for young adults with a membership of over 3,000 youths resident across 16 nations. Pastor Joseph is the author of over 10 books, including Biblical Wisdom for Young Adults. Also wrote a book which I like very much called titled Pandemic Joy. And Is This Opportunity from God? That's another title of his book. He is on the board of Missio Africanus, a learning community focused on unleashing Africa's missionary potential in today's world. He is happily married to Anu and they are blessed with two boys. And I want to, you by his profile and a lot that I cannot tell you because of time, you know that this man of God is loaded. And I pray that the Lord will meet us at the point of our needs through his ministrations in Jesus' mighty name. So join me in welcoming Pastor Joseph Ola to give us the word of God.
Amen. Thank you very much, Pastor Kende Olutola. Thank you so much for that introduction. And for the privilege to actually get to share these few minutes together with God's people in the United States and everyone watching from different places around the world. It is with joy and gratitude that I bring greetings from the Apostolic Church in Liverpool in the UK and from my lovely family. I want to appreciate, before I get into the message, the leadership of the youth ministry, the youth movement of the Apostolic Church of North America, Lona USA, ably led by Pastor Kende Olutola. I want to appreciate the excellence that has gone into the preparation for today's event. It's almost evening where I am. And I want to salute God's grace upon your lives and just declare that the Lord will continue to make you beacons and icons of excellence in your different spheres of influence in the name of Jesus. I also want to salute God's grace upon our father, the acting chairman of the territory in the Apostolic Church of North America, Pastor Talabi. He has been a father for very many, and I want to celebrate God's grace upon his life and to appreciate him for also giving the nod of approval for this privilege that I have. I'll say a word of prayer quickly and we'll get into God's word. Father God, we thank you. We thank you because you are alive. You are true. You are real. You are tangible, even though we can't see you. We thank you because we have this beautiful privilege of relating with you, of being called your sons and your daughters. We thank you for separating apart these 3 days, beginning yesterday, ending tomorrow, for us to draw closer, to catch a glimpse of who you are, even in the person of your Holy Spirit. We ask, O God, that as we spend the next few minutes together, that the word of God will come forth with simplicity and clarity in the mighty name of Jesus. I ask that you speak through my vocal cords that which is in your heart for your people in the mighty name of Jesus. I ask that at the end of this session, may we all be able to look back and appreciate you for the seed that has been sown in our lives and the power that comes forth for transformation to back up those words and the seed, to yield fruit to the maximum of its potential in our respective lives. To you alone be all the glory. In Christ Jesus' unfailing name, I have prayed. Amen, amen, and amen. Thank you very much. I'll get straight into God's word. We are hard pressed for time. I've been given to speak on understanding how to walk and live according to the Holy Spirit. How to walk and live according to the Holy Spirit. And actually, that is just one part of the subheadings in this general theme of the importance of the Holy Spirit that we are considering for this conference. The second aspect that I'll be looking at, as time permits, is the benefits of walking and living according to the Holy Spirit. The benefits of walking and living according to the Holy Spirit. I would start with, I mean, the very first thing that struck me about today's ministration is the date itself. 21st of August is a significant date in my life. And that's because exactly 6 years ago, on this day 6 years ago, I migrated out of Nigeria to the United Kingdom. And that has been a migration that has proven to be, in retrospect, looking back in retrospect, a journey into fulfillment, a journey, a purposeful journey, a purpose-driven journey, so to speak, a journey that was orchestrated by God himself and that continues to unfold whatever it is that is got in his plans and purposes by the day. But it's not just the journey in and of itself that is significant, or the fact that I left Nigeria for the UK, or some would say escaped Nigeria for the UK, and I want to quickly disabuse anybody's mind about that, because wherever you are in the world, actually, as long as you're in the center of God's will, that's what matters. And the significance of this journey in my own life is because it's a journey moving from one phase of God's will into another phase of God's will. There are very many people that have made such migrations and found themselves in messes and in shame and in reproach, but that has not been the case to the glory of God. But I make a reference to that date because if there is any season in my life when I have ever so felt the presence and the reality of walking and living according to the Holy Spirit, it was in that season of my life. When I made that move to go study in a Bible college in a land where I knew no one, it was literally a journey into the unknown. And so every step of the journey, every junction of need, everything about those 9-10 months that I spent in that particular season of my life that opened the doors for other seasons, it was strictly out of human logic, but totally inconsistent and consonance with what the Spirit of God is saying per time. And where I'm going with that is to help us understand that the topic we are treating, talking about the importance of the Holy Spirit, is not something abstract. It's something that has to come into tangibility and reality in our everyday life. I'm journeying into a city, going back to that story, in which, like I said, I knew no one, and in which after I must have paid the tuition deposit I was supposed to pay on resumption, everything I have left would not even be enough to book an accommodation. And I was on a visa at the time when I couldn't work and earn money. And so, humanly speaking, it looks like a crazy move to have made. But the track record that led me to that point of the journey, of even having to travel in the first instance, is a track record of God's faithfulness at every junction. And Pastor Kendi Olutola knows some of that story because we made that move about the same time to different locations, but both of us into destiny. And I'm grateful for how that has turned out 6 years down the line. We traveled just days apart of each other in that particular month back in 2015. And I look back now to what God did, and time will not permit me to go into all of that because we need to get into the message. And I will be referencing some of those issues as I go on. But the reality that I want to draw out from that is that has become a textbook case, in a manner of speaking, for me in retrospect, to believe that the Holy Spirit is not just some force out there or some impersonable influence. He is God. And he is a person, as Pastor Godwin Akintola taught us last night. And it is relatable. And he can actually come through to help you in a sense of having more or less a best friend. And so I'll be dwelling on a particular text that will be our major text for today. Because ever since I began to pray and think about the theme and the topic that I've been given, understanding how to walk and live according to the Holy Spirit, that verse had been the go-to verse that the Holy Spirit himself led me to. Interesting thing about the verse is that we say it often. We say it, at least there any service that finishes without us saying it. Pastor Godwin quoted it last night. We said it at the end of the service last night, and we're going to say it again today. We say, let's share the grace. And then we are all quoting from 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 14, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship or the communion of the Holy Spirit be with us all. But I'm going to read it from the Amplified Bible, the classic edition, and that would lead us into the rest of what we want to discuss today. It says, the grace, the favor, the spiritual blessing of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the presence and the fellowship, the communion, the sharing together, the participation in the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. So be it. The communion, the fellowship, the sharing together, the participation in the Holy Spirit. And that is what I want to dwell on. Because the reality is that the secret of living and walking according to the Holy Spirit is in fellowshipping with Him. It's in that word fellowship or communion, depending on the translation that you're reading from. The quality of our experience and manifestation of the God kind of life that every believer has depends on the quality of our fellowship with the Holy Spirit. It makes all the difference. Everyone that has given their life to Christ is a Christian, yes. But the output that comes forth from our lives, from our testimonies, from how we are able to make a difference, from how we are able to go about doing good, like Jesus did, being anointed by the Holy Spirit, Acts 10:38, it is to the degree to which we will intentionally fellowship with the Holy Spirit. This dimension, this personality, this aspect of the Godhead that gets to live inside us, that gets to interact with us. None of us alive today was alive when Jesus walked this earth, flesh and blood. And we get to not see the Father because God is Spirit. But there is a dimension of the Godhead, the Holy Spirit, who is fully tabernacled in us and mysteriously in whom we are fully tabernacled. So He owns us as much as we own Him. And we get to do life together if we so choose. And as many as do life together with Him, they get to enjoy all the full privileges of being a child of God. Romans 8:14 says, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, those are indeed the sons of God. And so the quality of the abundant life that we have is the same eternal life, the same abundant life, the same God kind of life that every believer has. But we don't make the same results with it. We don't get the same output with it. Why? The constant or different factor, rather, the variable now would be, what is your fellowship with the Holy Spirit like? What is your fellowship with the Holy Spirit like? To the extent to which you fellowship with Him, to the degree to which you fellowship with Him, will be to the degree to which you can show forth that God life. That God kind of life, that Zoe, that eternal life, that abundant life can begin to find expression through you. And when we say fellowship, what does that even mean? A simple way to think about it, and God gave me this definition very many years ago when I was still having my undergraduate degree at Obafemi Awolowo University. I think this was in 2009 when I was preparing for a message. And the Lord helped me to understand fellowship as an ongoing communion between fellows in God's sheep of love. Think of that imagery. Fellows together in the sheep of God's love, communing together, interacting together, doing life together, and that's fellowship. Actually, when I was receiving that definition or that understanding or way of articulating fellowship, what I had in mind was fellowship between believers, between brethren, brotherly love. But when I began to think about it really, I discovered that it applies as well to when we begin to talk about our fellowship with the Holy Spirit. That's not to say that you and Holy Spirit are mates. When we say someone is a fellow of an institute of so-and-so, everyone that is a fellow of that institute, they are not necessarily age mates. They are not necessarily location mates. They are not necessarily mates in very many essence or dimensions. But what brings them together to call them fellows is that there is a commonality, there is a common cause, there is an agenda, there is an intersection, there is a knowing that has brought them together, a body of knowledge that has brought them together. In this case, our knowledge of the Father, our knowledge and participation and partaking of the Father. Bible says that He has given us, He has made us partakers of His divine nature in the book of 1 Peter. And that's what we are. That's why we can say that we and the Holy Spirit are fellows together in God's sheep of love. And indeed, depending on the quality of your relationship with Him, and I'll be explaining how we can deepen that and build that and develop that very shortly, you get to a point where the Holy Spirit becomes a friend, becomes your best friend, your BFF, your buddy, your I was going to say playmates, of course, with all of the fullness of the reverence for him as God, ever been there without being diminished. The approachable, the interactable, the relatable expression of the Godhead. Everything that God wants to do in and through our life begins with and remains sustained by our access to divine communication. So our responsibility really is to position ourselves for divine communication through some tools of fellowship, through some things that can help us build fellowship or develop our fellowship with the Holy Spirit. And I've called them fellowship tools. And I'm just going to quickly run through some of those tools and give us some tips to maximize the moments and maximize each of them and bring out the best in them for us. The first one has to do with the Bible study. And I should mention before I go into each of these tools to zoom into them, that actually all of these tools have two legs. In other words, there is a personal dimension to them and there is a corporate dimension to them. None of us is the full custodian of the Holy Spirit. None of us is the exclusive custodian of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is not in me alone. The Holy Spirit is in every believer. And so to fellowship with the Holy Spirit necessarily implies that I must also fellowship with other believers. And so each of the dimensions of these tools that can help us to develop our koinonia, our fellowship with the Holy Spirit, has a dimension that is personal, in which we do it with the Holy Spirit. And there is another dimension that is corporate, that is communal, whereby we do it together with other believers. And so the first scripture that I want to read is in Colossians chapter 3, verse 6. It says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, not scantily, not feasting on a couple of verses from a devotional that you follow. Let the word of God dwell in you richly. And how does that happen? It happens with intentionality. It happens with you giving yourself to personal immersion in God's word. I find it alarming sometimes when some people say the Bible is boring, because the word of God it brims with life. Perhaps the simple tip that can help someone that is struggling with personal Bible study would be to say, switch the translation you're using. Try and engage with different other translations out there until you find a translation that speaks your language. We live in a generation that is so resourced. We live in a generation that have access to so very many resources, and yet we are underutilizing them. So when it comes to investing in the word of God to get it to dwell in your heart so richly, the onus lies on each and every one of us to go for it, to dig deep into it, and to get the juice out of it. John chapter 16, verse 33 says, the word that I speak unto you, it says, I've spoken these words unto you so that in me you can have peace. Jesus speaking. In this world you will have many tribulations, but be of good cheer because I've overcome the world. It started by telling them that the secret to overcoming the world and having that victory find expression to you is to lean into the words that he has spoken. I have spoken these words to you. Let it dwell in you richly, so that when tribulations come, tribulation simply means a pressing together. And life does that. It presses us together with different challenges. When those challenges are squeezing you, what comes out of you will be what has dwelt inside of you richly. So if it is God's word that has dwelt richly in you, God's word will come out. I was making reference back to the 21st of August 2015 when I traveled. But to backtrack a little bit to when I applied for the visa for that journey, it was initially denied. And the reason for the denial wasn't my fault. When I went to submit the documents at the visa office, I found out that there was a test I was supposed to do that I didn't do, a tuberculosis test. And so they said, there's no problem. Give us your document. We'll send it over to the visa processing office. You go and do the test within 7 days. Come back with the certificate and we'll send it along to meet up with the rest of your documents. But it so happened that the documents got there so fast and the people there were not so busy that they attended to the documents before my TB certificate would be sent. And they discovered that I didn't have a TB certificate, and so they refused the visa on that basis. Even though I had one, it's just on the way. And so by the time I was sending the TB certificate, they were already sending back my documents with a rejection letter. And then I went on to pick the documents, of course, and saw that it was rejected. That's a tribulation of some sort, because that was totally incongruent with the track record of the faithfulness of God that has led me to that point. I could choose at that moment to be anxious. I could choose at that moment to be angry with God. I could choose at that moment to start crying. But right there and then, a scripture came through and a song. And the scripture was, "Let not your heart be troubled." I don't know how that was going to be resolved. I've never applied to a visa or for a visa all my life. That was the first time I'll be doing that. I don't know what next to do in such a situation. But a scripture came through. Because when the pressing of life came, it met what has been indwelt, what has been richly living therein. Let the word of God dwell in you. Let not your heart be troubled. That was what I heard. And I held on to that. And a song came from within me, a song by Shola Alison, that says that my soul has found rest. It's a Yoruba song. And that was what I sang all the way home, and just kept humming that in my spirit and wondering what God would do. And of course, a few days later, they told me to come back and pick up my TB certificate, which of course I've made the empty trip all the way to wherever they were processing it and back. And then I went to pick it up. And when I was picking it up, someone looked at me and called my name in full. And I didn't know him. And apparently he was like the head guy at that particular office. And he said, "You don't know me, we are friends on Facebook." And he talked about how I've written some notes that he has commented about, and how I've written some, and he has written some that I've also commented about. And so we said, "What brings you to my office?" And I explained my plight. And right there and then, he just got my email address. Before the end of the day, I got an email apologizing profusely for what errors they made and asking me to send just my passport to them. And the next week, I got my visa. Why did it turn out that way? It could have turned out any other way. More so, I was clueless. But there was the word of God that was dwelling richly. That says, this is not a matter to fret about. This is not a matter to be disturbed about. Leave it in the hand of he that has begun the good work, who will perfect it. And indeed, he did perfect it. Let the word of God dwell in you richly. And as God's word dwells richly in your heart and in the heart of each member of the church, imagine that scenario. Imagine the possibility of God's word dwelling richly in each and every single one of us as members of God's body. And the other thing I want to point our attention to quickly before I move on to the other tools is that there is a connection in that verse between our knowledge of God's word and our expression of worship through song. And in the case study I just gave, those two came together, a verse and a song. Because it goes on to say, admonishing one another in psalms, in hymns, and in spiritual songs. And I dare say that psalms are one of the most underutilized weapons that we have. All of God's word is the sword of the spirit, Bible says. But there are aspects of God's word that help us to wage spiritual warfare ever so eloquently. Remember that all scripture is divinely inspired, and remember that the Holy Spirit is the author of scriptures. We learned all of that yesterday. And the Psalms particularly contains a rich collection or tapestry of praises, lamentations, meditations, all sorts of different chants for different issues of life, which are spirit-inspired words that God has given us to use in speaking back to him. And so the Psalms are ever, ever so rich. I was in the hospital when my wife was going to have our second child. Our firstborn was had via cesarean section. And I knew how the drama played out during that time. And when she was going to have the second child, the drama was beginning to look exactly like the one that it looks like in the first time. I was beginning to hear the midwife say things like, "The baby is not happy." And right there and then, the default that came forth was, I remember the message I preached in church the Sunday before, which was just like 2 days before. And the challenge that I gave to every church member was to dwell in Psalm 46 for that week. Just continue to chant it and immerse yourself in it. And if you've ever read Psalm 46, I mean, the very first verse says, God is our ever-present help in times of trouble. And I began to read that, to chant that, to pray that, and to continue to see all those worst case scenarios that the psalmist painted in that particular psalm, and continues to give a rhetoric of the fact that God is able, is the one in whom we'll trust. And I kept on reciting that, praying that, and of course the baby came forth. It was by the cesarean section, but everything went on smoothly. And the mother and the child are doing ever so well. The psalms that God has given us, he gave them to us to wage war, to praise him, to use for any and every purpose or dimension in which we need to engage the spirit in our daily affairs, in our life's affairs. And then it talks of hymns, and times we not I don't have enough time to begin to dig into the power of hymns. Our redemption inner is filled with lots and lots and lots of hymns. Hymns are more or less songs that are rich with theological truth. And so just when we were singing Trust and Obey just a while ago before this ministration came forth, in my mind, it's not just the words alone. It was triggering a conference of some sort in my spirit. I'm remembering how Joseph trusted and obeyed, and how that played out for him. I'm remembering how Daniel and his friends trusted and obeyed in a strange land, and how that played out for them. I'm remembering how the Holy Spirit helped Jesus, even when he came to a point when he was like, is it possible for this cup to pass over me? But he trusted and obeyed, and how that played out. Why? Because we are singing a hymn that is rich with theological truths, and then spiritual songs, spontaneous songs. You go on YouTube, and I mean, we're so blessed. Our generation is so blessed with wonderful worship leaders, both within our local assemblies and all across the world. A click away, a type away, a tap of the screen away, and you can be connected right there and then to all of these resources that we have, fellowship with the Holy Spirit. Another tool that I would quickly mention is sermons and Christian literature. And the scripture I'm going to give for that is Acts chapter 2, verse 42. It says, every believer was faithfully devoted to following the teachings of the apostles. Their hearts were mutually linked to one another. They were sharing communion and coming together regularly for prayers. That's Acts 2:42 from the Passion Translation. But where I want to zoom in on there is the teachings of the apostles. In the KJV, it calls it the apostles' doctrine. I mean, this was at a time when there was no Bible. All they had was the Torah and the words that Jesus had taught them. And so when he's talking about the teachings of the apostles as a means of knitting the hearts of the people together, sharing together, and coming together and growing together, they're talking of how the apostles continue to teach the things that Jesus taught, the things that he handed over to them. The equivalent of that today is sermons. And that can happen individually in your fellowship time with the Holy Spirit by connecting to a sermon that has already been preached in church or elsewhere by any biblically sound and grounded man of God or woman of God out there. But then, corporately, when we come together in our local expression of church and sit or stand or take whatever posture we want to take to worship God together, there is a moment in time when it leads on to that moment when someone mounts the podium to preach and open God's word. It's not just a time to listen to the pastor. It's a time to listen to the Holy Spirit. Even right now, as I'm speaking to us, it's not just my words that you are listening to or that you should be listening to. It's an avenue for you to communicate and fellowship with the Holy Spirit. Very many times when I'm taking down notes for sermon, I write things that the pastor has not said or the preacher has not said. Why? Because I'm not just listening to him, I'm also listening to the things that the Spirit is saying because of what whoever he is using is saying. And so sermons are very, very powerful, very, very powerful tools for us to deepen our fellowship with God. And of course, an offshoot of that as well is Christian literature. God has revealed something of himself to so very many of us. And we all continue to see him in parts and prophesy, admonish in parts. But there is a dimension of the admonishment that I can give, that you can give, that someone else in another part of the world give, that are loaded and locked up in books. And when those come together, it brings alive, it helps us to be able to maximize, get the most out of what God has for us. Testimonies and journaling. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3 to 4 says, all praise to, and this is from the Message translation, all praise to the God of all healing counsel, who comes alongside us when we go through hard times. And before you know it, he brings us alongside someone else who is going through hard times so that we can be there for that person just as God was there for us. This scripture has been a life scripture for me in a manner of speaking, because I've found out on a very practical level the power of testimonies. The power of, and when I say testimony, I'm not talking of those things we do in church where you just come and say, yes, I want to thank God. There's this thing I've been asking God for 7 years and God has done it. And everybody says, praise the Lord. That's not the gist. That's really not the testimony. The testimony is in what happened in those 7 years. How did you survive those times that you really felt mad at God? What did you do? How did the Holy Spirit come through at those moments when you were at the thick of wanting to give up, and then the comforter comforted you? What did that look like? That's what someone else needs to hear that is going through what you've gone through, or what you have been through, walking through the streets that you have walked through. And that is another way to fellowship with the Holy Spirit. When you're talking about what the Holy Spirit has done in your life so that another person's faith can be stirred up to connect to that and have that same result that you've had. That's testimonies. And sometimes that happens when you begin to journal. To journal is to write down in a reflective way the things that are happening. And when I made that a practice, it began sometimes in 2015 or 2016, when I wake up each day and look back to the previous day and ask myself, what happened yesterday? What did I learn from what happened yesterday? And what prayer points can come out from what happened yesterday? And I begin to write that down. I was doing that together with some other people as a challenge for 1 month. After I did that for 1 week, it was clear to me that, oh my goodness, life has been teaching me so much never even been paying attention to, because I never take time to pause and look back. You see, sometimes when we say we have quiet times, and we just open the day's devotional, you read the verse, you read the exposition that is already explained, and you say the confession, you say the prayer, and you are done with your quiet time for the day. That's not qualitative. That's not fellowshipping with the Holy Spirit. Sometimes it looks like you pick a pen and wanting to write things down. And in writing, the writer perhaps, I found that there is healing in writing. Sometimes the comfort or the help or the admonition or the intercession of the Holy Spirit will find expression through the words as you're writing them. It's a sweet way to have communion and participate in the Holy Spirit. Sometimes we write in letters, just the same way you would write love letters to the person in whom your heart delights. And lastly, before I move on briefly to the next aspect, fellowship tools, the last one I want to mention is prayer. And of course, this is big. In fact, when we talk about fellowshipping with the Holy Spirit, you can summarize it as the Word of God and prayer. I chose to put it as the last to make a point that every of the other points that I've mentioned can be prayer. You see, sometimes we take prayer to just be when you are able to skabash and shake your head and jump up and down. Prayer can look like that, but can look like a thousand other things. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18, reading from the Voice translation, it says, pray always, pray in the Spirit, pray about everything, in every way you know how to. In other words, there are so very many ways to pray. Pray in all manner of ways, in all manner of ways. Some versions will say all kinds of prayers and supplication. In all manner of ways, pray in every way you know how to. And so your Bible study, your personal Bible study time, reading the scripture can become prayer. Reading the scripture personally can become a form of prayer. You journaling can become a form of prayer. You taking the time to read the Psalms or to sing a hymn or a spiritual song can become a form of prayer. Anything that gets you communicating with your Father and opening yourselves up to receive from Him, that's prayer. And we need to maximize, discover the expression that works for the season that you are in and do it. There is a time that I could afford to go and do tongue strolling for 7 hours. as an undergraduate student that all you're thinking about is the future and you have no commitment and no responsibilities to anybody. But now that you have a 2-year-old and a 4-year-old that would shout your name in the middle of the night to come and give him or her hot chocolate, it's not the time to start doing some 7 hours, ignoring every family member kind of prayers. That just is not realistic. But then, even in the season of life that you are in, there is a form of prayer that works. You can't afford not to communicate with the Holy Spirit. One of my best moments now in the season of life that I'm in is when I take permission from my wife to say, I know you like us to go shopping together, but today I want to go shopping alone, and I want to go to that particular shopping mall that is very far from the house because I want to walk there and use that 40 minutes that will take me to walk there as my opportunity to fellowship with the Holy Spirit. That can look like plugging in a sermon and listening all the way. That can look like me just talking to him as I walk all the way. That can look like anything. It can look like me listening to an audiobook as I walk all the way, but I'm communing and fellowshipping with the Holy Spirit. And lastly, in the last few minutes that I have, my time is really, really fast spent already. But I would quickly mention a few benefits of this, and some of those benefits have come forth already from the things that I've shared so far. But the benefits of walking and living in the Holy Spirit, the first one that I'll mention is spiritual intelligence and discernment. Spiritual intelligence and discernment. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 2 verse 14, it says in the KJV that the natural man cannot understand the things of the Spirit, for they are foolishness unto him, he cannot, because they are spiritually discerned. But I'm also going to read it from the Passion Translation. It says, someone living on an entirely human level, a natural level, he rejects the revelations of God's Spirit, for they make no sense to him. He can't understand the revelations of the Spirit because they are only discovered by the illumination of the Spirit. One of the things that begins to happen to you when you open yourself up to those fellowship tools that we've mentioned earlier on is that you begin to be able to reason at the frequency of the Holy Spirit. Let this mind be in you which was in Christ Jesus becomes not just a scripture, a memory verse, but a reality. You begin to be able to act like Christ would have acted. What would Jesus do? Becomes your default because you are operating at the level of spiritual intelligence and discernment. You don't jump at every opportunity because you know that it's not every opportunity that is from God. And that's why I wrote a book on that, is this opportunity from God. I'll move on to the second point quickly. And the second point that I want to share with us is biblical comprehension. Biblical comprehension, the ability to understand the scriptures. You know, sometimes people say the reason why they are not doing personal Bible studies because when they read it, they just don't get it. But the point is, it is in reading it with the expectation of the Holy Spirit, the author, to do what he alone can do, that you begin to see what you're supposed to see. Paul prayed for the Ephesians church. He said that the eyes of their understanding will be enlightened. He prayed for the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of God. The Bible is precious in that it's the only book that we get the privilege of having the author to come explain to us what we are reading, what he had in mind when you get to read it. Oh, how precious, oh, how gracious is the Holy Spirit, the author of the Holy Scriptures, the author of the Holy Scriptures. The author of the Holy Spirit. In fact, to engage with the scriptures without the Holy Spirit is actually dangerous. Because Paul says, the letter kills, but the spirit behind it gives life. Jesus said, the words that I speak unto you, John chapter 6, verse 63, they are spirit and they are life. Quickly, I'll mention the third point, and that is GPS. And when I say GPS, one of the things that came to mind naturally is GPS signal lost, that you hear when your phones, Google Maps is disconnected from the internet, and then he says GPS signal lost. By GPS, what I mean is God's positioning system. The Holy Spirit, when you begin to fellowship with him, can begin to position you per time. He orchestrates the affairs of your life and orders your steps in ways that your human logic and calculation could never fathom. Bible says in Isaiah chapter 30 verse 21 from the expanded Bible version, it says, if you go the wrong way, to the right or to the left, you will hear a voice behind you saying, this is the right way, you should go this way. This is the right way, you should go this way. You will hear a voice behind you. And actually, oftentimes, it's a voice within you. It comes from within. Sometimes it comes even almost like your thoughts, but you know that it's not your thought because you couldn't have thought like that. It's the Spirit of God that is impressing some thoughts upon your thoughts to know what to do per time. Time will not permit me to share a beautiful testimony of a moment in time when that played out in my academics, when everything was looking so foggy and the lecturer had told us ever so proudly that at the end of his last lecture, I am now the God and all of you will come and worship me. And indeed, everybody was thrown into a frenzy. And now the Holy Spirit led me step by step from the moment I gave up being frustrated and said, Holy Spirit, take over. And now that translated step by step into a journey of go and sleep and sleep again and sleep again and sleep again till the very last minute when he says, okay, read this part and read that part, and went into the exam hall and saw exactly what he has said for me to read at the very last minute before the exam. And now that turned into a 93A. It's the Spirit of God that could do that because of the connection that his child has with him in that ship of God's love. I'll move on to the fourth one, which is the penultimate one. I'll be wrapping up in a couple of minutes. And that's ever-increasing Christ-likeness. I've mentioned this actually earlier on, that to the degree to which you're able to fellowship with the Holy Spirit, you begin to look like him. You begin to look like Christ. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18, we all with unveiled faces, we are beholding in the mirror, in a glass, the glory of God, and we are being transformed into the same image. And it says that happens by the Lord, the Spirit, or by the Spirit of the Lord, by the Holy Spirit, who is accomplishing that transformation in our lives. We are supposed to come to a point when we fellowship with him so much that people begin to see us and mistake us for Jesus in a contemporary way of putting it. By the grace of God, I had the privilege one time of being posted to a station in southwestern Nigeria in the church. And I was only there for 21 days. I didn't know, of course, when I was being posted, I was going to be there for just 21 days. But I was only there for 21 days. But within those 21 days, I lived in the same room with the driver of my bus. And it didn't take long to find out that he wasn't interested in anything Christianity. He wasn't interested in anything religious. He doesn't show up for any prayer meeting. All he's interested in is to drive us to wherever we want to go. And while he stays in the car, and when we are ready to go back, he goes back with us. But within those 21 days, by the second week of staying in the same room with him, just having him do life together with me and having me do life together with him, I came into the room one day and saw him reading my Bible, my bilingual Bible. And I did like I didn't see him, went to the bookshop, bought the same copy of that Bible, wrote his name on it and gave it to him. And then I saw that he started showing up for the prayer meetings that he wasn't showing up for. I did not have any conversation whatsoever with him about God, about faith, about Christianity. And then the third week came and I got to know I was going to be leaving. And that's when he broke down in tears to say, I've just started doing stuff for him. I said, I've not done anything. The Holy Spirit started it and he will perfect it. And ever increasing Christ-likeness by the quality of your koinonia, your communion with the Holy Spirit. And lastly, spiritual resourcefulness. And what do I mean by that? We are supposed to go into the world and be replicas of Jesus. But that would not happen if we are not communing with that Jesus, in this case, as the Holy Spirit that is tabernacled inside of us. Bible says Jesus was anointed with the Holy Spirit and with power, Acts 10:38, and by the reason of that anointing, he was about doing good. He went into the world change, becoming a change agent, and he wants us to carry on that responsibility. When he was here, he could only do so much. He could only be at a place at a time because he was limited by the realities of humanity. But when he promised us another that is like him, and Pastor Godwin was saying so much about this yesterday, he is now tabernacled inside us and is boundless. The Holy Spirit is boundless by the limitations of humanity in terms of geography and the rest of them. He can be there and everywhere at the same time. And we have him inside of us. Why shouldn't we, or why won't we be productive and resourceful spiritually, using the gifts of the Spirit to be a blessing to the world out there? So the benefits are myriad. And but I'll just conclude by letting us know that the secret of becoming all that God intends for us, really, individually and corporately as the body of Christ in the United States or anywhere, is indeed to fellowship with our senior partner, the Holy Spirit. And we do that by engaging those tools of fellowship that I've mentioned. And that's not exhaustive. There are still very many more that the Holy Spirit himself will be teaching and training you in. Partaking in the Holy Communion is in itself a deepening or a fellowshipping tool. Speaking in tongues, building yourself in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. And sometimes that will look like speaking in tongues. Some other times it will look like speaking in plain language. But growing, building yourself up on your most holy faith. And the result is that our lives will preach better than our words possibly can, such that God will be most glorified in us because we are satisfied in him and in our relationship with him. Just before I pray, let me throw a challenge that I've also embraced to see happen in the body of Christ, in the expression of the body of Christ in my location, and I'm hoping the same will play out elsewhere. We live in a generation where, in the Western world especially, Christianity is dying out. Where you see Christianity growing, or churches that are really growing, more often than not, you see churches where you find black people. And the irony of that is that you find out that we kind of still have a challenge in breaking through to be able to minister to the indigenous of the localities where we are located. And how will it be to be able to begin to see tokens of what God described as our end goal, where everyone from every tribe and tongue can come together to fellowship together and worship God together? And I've found out that one of the limitations or the challenges that are stopping that from happening is because we tend to, especially within the African church networks, we tend to replicate the kind of evangelistic tools that was working for us when we were in Africa. But now we are not in Africa, and distributing flyers or knocking on people's doors may not be as productive. But one of the things that God laid on my heart as I have been studying this and thinking about it and praying about it is, if we are going to arise as a generation of Christians that will be intentional in building friendships, that will take time, yes, but it will be productive on the long run. If we will take time in building friendships with people that don't look like us, think like us, speak like us, and begin to just model the life of Christ to them, and just live as someone that is in communion with the Holy Spirit, we will see many people beginning to see something in us that they would want to tap into. So St. Francis of Assisi that said that, preach the gospel at all times, when necessary, use words. In other words, we can actually or should actually be preaching the gospel, not necessarily with our words, but more importantly with our lives. And that will not happen if we are disconnected from our communion with the Holy Spirit. Can I just take a moment to say a word of prayer to us as I bring this to a close? And perhaps you listen to this, whether you're on ground or elsewhere online, and you're wondering, how will it be for me to be able to have such a beautiful relationship with this personality of the Holy Spirit? Maybe you've once had it and you don't feel it again. You don't enjoy that koinonia as you once used to do. Can I ask you, wherever you are, to just put your hand on your chest and to just say these words and pray this prayer after me, that the Lord himself will come into your heart and will open your eyes, the eyes of your understanding, to see him, to see him more clearly, to love him more dearly, to follow him more nearly, day by day. Father God, I thank you for this season. I thank you for your word that has come forth to us this day. I ask, oh God, that everyone under the sound of my voice, on ground and online, that you will touch them right now. You make yourself tangibly real, realistic to them and to the realities of their lives. You let your comfort begin to manifest and find expression in their situations. And we ask, oh God, that you will make us all better fellowshippers, better partakers of the Holy Spirit, better sharers with the Holy Spirit, people that will have deeper communion with the Holy Spirit. To you be all the glory and praise. And let your blessings rest upon the Apostolic Church of North America and upon the youth movement therein. To you be all the praise. In Jesus' most blessed name we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. God bless you.